All right, folks, I'm going to call this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission to order for Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. Please set your phones on stun and let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hello, Ms. Lambert, how are you?
I am well.
Will you call roll, please?
Tom Ruslinski.
Here.
Tom Gazdecky, absent. Anthony Broadnax.
Here.
Dave Castellanos.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Robert Ochi, absent. Livon Whittaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Present. We have a quorum. Next up is, we'll try something different. Statements to the board from the floor. Usually been doing in the past, at the end of the meeting, we're trying something different, putting it at the front of the meeting. So if you'd like to comment on what's going on out in the field or anything on the agenda, please step up to the, I would say microphone, but it's the podium and state your name and address for the record. Going once, going twice. Closing that, moving right along. Approval of the minutes, from March 19th, 2025. Sure you all read them. What is the changes, motions? What say you?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from March of 2025 as presented.
There's a motion to approve the minutes from March 19th, 2025. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Be there none. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Ruslinski.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnax.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Livon Whittaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Next up is, Chairman's report. Let me start by asking, Ms. Bennett. Ms. Bennett, we've had to call roll on minutes and all things after the COVID. Is that still something required by the state?
Only if you have a member appearing via Zoom.
Only if the member, thank you. If you have a $275 million man-made, flood control project and you don't do the maintenance, things like that happen. And our regular pictures that we have for every meeting since the flood are being framed. So, that's what happens when you don't maintain a flood control system. So when you're dealing with Mother Nature, if you don't do the maintenance and have issues like that, it makes it more of a challenge, as opposed to also looking at Mother Nature giving us 10 gallons of water for our 5-gallon bucket, to which we also will have an issue. But we're far better prepared than prior to September in 2008, when we saw what happens when you don't do those types of things. This is a true economic development project, in my opinion. Just first and foremost, on the premise of removing the requirement for mandatory flood insurance as a part of your mortgage for the majority of folks that were, along the river. Because of the levee, please don't not do that. Always get insurance if you live close to the levee. But it's still important to know that people have that money now. It's enough about me. Let's pay the bills. A little more chairman's report. We have to approve the claims for April 2025 to move this along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve claims for April of 2025 in the amount of $922,964.01.
There's a motion to approve the claims. Is there a second?
Second.
And we have a second. Pick who you like, Ms. Lambert. And from the standpoint of what's going on with these, Mr. Repay, you want to point anything out in particular?
Sure. We'll point out the larger ones, and then you guys can ask me questions about the other ones. as a part of the 5-year maintenance with the Corps, we have to inspect all the culverts that go through the levee. We awarded two contracts, one to Grimmer, one to Hasse to do such. Hasse was doing the 4 culverts underneath the expressway. Grimmer was doing all the other gates and other structures. So with that, you'll see some of the larger claims for those. One for $129,034 for Grimmer for the south levee culvert cleaning. $180,131.40 for the Geary North cleaning. And then I know Hassie's here someplace in this grand scheme of things, but we'll get to that when I find it. Superior Engineering for $30,420 for our pump station PLCs that we're upgrading. Those are now all have been delivered and are being installed as we speak. as long as it doesn't snow anymore. Reimbursement to the Lake County Collaborative, that's our partnership with the Conservation Group for $45,191.35. And then Wiltshire Excavating for $181.45. For removal of trees for the stabilization project in Hardstitch. Those are some of the highlights. If you have particular ones that you'd like to talk about, I'd be.
Any questions? Is that a split screen, Dan, that you do on purpose? That's kind of different.
I don't think I control that.
That's your hand in your phone.
Well, I don't control it. She's
just asking.
I don't know, man.
All right.
I'm getting nervous.
You should be, because I don't know what you got written on that piece of paper.
It's not big enough. I can say that. I can read it.
So any questions for Mr. Repay and paying the bills?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Dan, just for clarification.
Yes.
American Structure Point, $8,800 some dollars. We're not building a train. We're building a trail, correct?
Correct. That's
a trail.
Yeah, that's the trail that connects to the Rock Riffle, that connects to Liverpool, that ultimately connects to the rest of the Lake Station trail.
He doesn't get it.
I did get it. I'm ignoring it.
I'm moving forward. It's my New Year's resolution.
Thank you, guys.
Stay better.
Life's too short not to laugh more. This is boring. All right. Any other questions regarding paying the bills?
Are we complete with the culvert cleaning?
Not for Hassie. Hassie has the fourth one.
Grimmers
should be complete. They just owe us the reports. There just would be minimal amounts. That was a not to exceed contract.
Yeah.
Was that those culverts or different set of culverts?
Those are different set of culverts. Those culverts don't need to be inspected per the Army Corps.
That's why it looks like that. It did look like
it did look like that in September of 2008.
All right. So any other questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Hold on a second. Mr. Broadneck.
Yeah. For the public, I don't know if they got the earlier version, but do we need to state that the total was not correct earlier? The claims are correct, but the total wasn't correct.
Yeah, the claims before were 911 and some change, and now they're 922. Just some Excel spreadsheet issues.
That was it for me, Mr.
All right. Mr. Ware.
You gave a little bit of an explanation on the Wiltshire, the $180,000 some dollars. Does that clear out the next full anticipated stabilization, or does that go anywhere past while they're there?
No, it takes into account only the next phase. And so we had to take it, and I'm sure Thomas would love to do a presentation on the Indiana bat, but we had to remove those trees before April 1st. Otherwise, we face the wrath of the Indiana bat permitting process. So we were asked to participate, so we gladly did that. Luckily, no Indiana bats were harmed in the cutting of those trees down.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry.
Mr. Broadnax.
Regarding the same Hardstitch, how far north are we on Hardstitch again?
9,400 block of foliage.
That's right here.
From Franlin to almost Independence Park.
Okay.
And then we're working on getting it all the way to the confluence of Katie Marsh and Schoonditch by the fall or winter of this year.
This construction season.
Assuming permitting, just throw the caveat in there.
Okay.
But since they've already seen four other segments, I can't imagine them having, they're all going to be designed similar.
Good. Mr. Castellanos, did you have a question?
No.
Any more? Be there none, there's a motion and a second. I can't remember if anybody's on Zoom, so let's do roll. Ms. Lambert.
Tom Lincecum.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnax.
Yes.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, what's going on in the field? Next up is the executive director's report. Mr. Repay, it's getting to be time.
Yes. So beyond all the claims that we just paid for all the culverts and the inspections, and we're partnering with the county to also do some cleaning in Dyer Ditch from 30 all the way back to its beginning. So that's in the process as well. And you'll see a claim on there. We just finished, and I think this is where I caught whatever I've caught, doing inspections with the Corps last week. We did everything from the railroad track all the way to NDOT, I-65. Only two Army Corps vehicles were stuck in that process, so that was a plus. Everything else went well. We had a couple minor mechanical issues with gates, but those are easily fixed. Nothing critical as far as not being able to close it, just something that we need to improve on. We did do yesterday cleaning of the Kennedy Avenue blockage. We do that typically in the springtime, just because of all the winter trees that have fallen. We still have one more that we have to take care of, and that's the railroad tracks. And I know Ron has was bike riding on a brisk morning, really early, by the way. And we have to clean that next week, just because of all the pipelines that are involved. We have to have a lot of people in coordination that want to sit there and watch. NDOT has given us permission to clean the ditches on the land side along the expressway. And so we have to fill out a couple permits for that. Speaking of permits, good news. We are in the final round of getting approval for a 408 permit after 2 years for our gate wells, which is permit 2313. And so we'll be able to probably bid that out later this summer.
And for the record, what's a 408?
I'm sorry. Anytime you make alterations to the existing federal levy or how it functions, you have to apply for a 408 through the Corps. Even though the Corps turns the levy over to you, they have to approve any changes that are made. So in this situation, it's the two gates. One is located on the west side of Indianapolis Boulevard, and the other one is located, the east side of Indianapolis Boulevard. The one is west side of Kennedy Avenue, the one that feeds into Optimus Pond. Both how many of those don't have secondary closures.
How many other 408 applications are out there for us?
Currently, we have six.
Six?
Yep.
And is the longest 2 years that we've been waiting?
Yeah, this is the one, 2313. The next one that we think that we're going to get is 2330, which is stream bank stabilization work that they called out in their 2022 inspection of our project.
So in identifying a trend, would I say that, is it safe to say that it takes 2 years to get a 408 permit?
Well, we might break that trend because of something later on in the agenda with respect to the geotechnical work regarding the LOMAR and that type of work. We may break that in less than a year and pay for the expedited though.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Continue.
No, that's really all. I mean, we touched on it, and we'll touch on a whole bunch of other projects as you see in our agenda that I'll be talking about. From mitigation, we're working, trying to perpetuate and make sure that maintains itself in project mitigation. We're still waiting for a proposal for that from Stantec, who is going to provide that for us. And then, all the different applications you'll hear about and see about, and I'll have to go ahead and give you summaries on as we go through and make motions on them. So,
great. Any questions for Mr. Repay about what's going on in the field?
Mr. Chairman, yes. On Project Tracker, are we making progress on some of these? I guess I'm seeing mostly engineering studies that have low percentage of complete work that are a little bit older, like 2022, 23, 24, as an example, levee evaluation survey, hydraulic 25%. And
yeah, that's going to be the one
that we're dealing with tonight.
Yeah, that's the one we're dealing with. We were at a stuck point as to how to do the analyzing it, if that's such a phrase. And so the Corps stopped us. We fought with them as best we could, but at the end of the day, the information that we need to gather, it's no longer worth fighting for them. And so that's where we stand now. So we're at a standstill with the hydraulic modeling and that type of stuff. But as far as if you're talking about projects, depends on the community. Some communities bill all at the end. Some communities bill as they go.
Okay.
For instance, if it's Maryville, and not to pick on Maryville, I know Maryville here tonight, but they bill at the very end. They'll just wait till it's complete and bill it.
Do we have a way to verify those types of bills, like at the very end, to make sure all of the subsequent or the interim payments were
okay? Yeah, they send us all the documentation and then just put in the final invoice to you guys.
Well, there's usually retainers too.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Repe? Moving right along, then. Next up is presentations. You've got it. Please introduce the first one.
I have to find my notes. You're ready here. Oh, yeah, you're good. You're there. So which is the first one? Oh, Maryville, you are the first one.
Yeah.
All right. Hendricks Drainage Improvement Project. It takes care of the west side of Hendricks from the railroad all the way to Turkey Creek to improve the drainage. They're going to be able to hear, answer questions. I think I gave Matt some. Oh, yes. You've got the presentation. So.
Don't see you.
Technology has left us. He will be able to tell us everything he wants to know. I've got to join Zoom again. I apologize. But he'll tell us the questions that you guys had. How many houses? How many people were impacted? Does it impact the road? And that's all I got until I join here. I don't know.
And let me in.
Good.
No, I think you. We're on Zoom because that's where the presentation is.
What's that?
Is that where the presentation is?
No, he's got it on a drive here.
Oh, Zoom gonna. While we're watching this, Miss Bennett, if we have a Zoom and we've linked in, and during the course of this public meeting, Zoom kicks off for no reason because of whatever, we just keep going, correct? Thank you.
Need to reconnect is, you know, every effort, but if it is an issue with the electronic provider, it doesn't stop the meeting.
Thank you. All right, sir, you're up. Please introduce yourself and state your name and address for the record, and we'll try to get through the technology.
Yes. Tim Hollinsworth, VS Engineering. We are at 8585 Broadway in Maryville, Suite 725.
Watch this, I'll help him. Isn't that scary?
Oh, thank you.
And look at that. Quiet. We want this one.
It is.
Look at that. Dan's helping things out.
Thank God, Dan's here.
Thank you, Dan.
Very good. Perfect. All right.
Don't say that too loud.
As previously mentioned, this is to cover the Hendricks Street Drainage Improvement Project. There it goes. So this is for the Town of Maryville, the Department of Stormwater Utility. I'm Tim Hollinsworth. Unfortunately, Matt Lake could not be in attendance this evening. He had a conflict arise.
Let's see.
So this project's located in the northwest corner of the Town of Maryville. This is on the west side of Broadway, even further west of Taft 55, and it's north of 30 and north of 73rd. So zooming into the project location, this is between the Grand Trunk Western Railroad as well as Turkey Creek. So one key issue, this spot is on the east side of Hendricks, just south of the railroad where the water does not drain properly. There's also a ditch on the west side of the street that often floods after heavy rains. The Town of Maryville wants to solve both of these problems with this project. Since Lake County Parks owns a large portion of the land on the west side of the street, they will be involved in this project too. In addition to reducing flooding, the project includes features that help protect the environment. We're installing special drainage made of renewable plastic, 60% renewable. That's the HDPE. This will add recyclability and improve the environment throughout there. Overall, this work will improve the drainage in the area and help protect Turkey Creek. On the screen is the funding requests for this project. It's important to note that the drainage issues we're addressing are currently affecting more than 10 properties in the area, causing ongoing issues such as standing water, yard flooding, and very limited access during heavy rain events. This slide shows the funding application for the project. As we've discussed, these drainage issues are not isolated. They're impacting over 10 properties in the area, leading to frequent flooding and longstanding maintenance concerns. Securing funding will help this project move forward with meaningful improvements that provide long-term relief and better stormwater management for the community. I also want to emphasize that once completed, the town of Maryville is Department of Stormwater Management will own and maintain this infrastructure moving forward. So where did all this come from? There was an engineering analysis done. This outlines the analysis and then defined the scope as well as the urgency for this project. First, we looked at the homes directly impacted by the flooding. The driveways, the roadways in front of several addresses along Hendrick Street, specifically 2000 West 56th. We also looked at 6127, 6304, and 6500. They all experience flooding periodically. This is mainly due to poor ditch grading, the lack of maintenance, and drainage spots that are clogging at both ends of the affected area. As part of this project, we're proposing to remove and replace those impacted driveways and the old undersizing and failing culverts underneath them. We'll also be cleaning out the clogged drainage points and restoring proper flow and reducing standing water issues the residents have been faced with. So this slide outlines the estimated costs and key benefits of this project. As shown on the screen, the total project cost is around $424,000 and some change. The benefits are significant across different areas. First, the project will reduce eliminating flooding along Hendrix and the driveways of the five affected properties, as we've discussed previously. Second, this will be resolving ongoing ponding issues in the western ditch line, which has been a ongoing problem. Finally, the improvement will also address longstanding drainage issues on the east side of Hendrix, specifically at 6127. To date, reported the flood damage has impacted the homes by $20,000. And that's over the last 10 years. By replacing the ditch system with a gravity-driven drainage solution that will discharge points at both ends of the project, this will help minimize maintenance needs and hopefully not need anything major over the next 30 years. This photo shows one example of the flooding areas.
Am I looking north or south? Because you're doing west and east on me, but I don't have a reference point.
Yes. So this is looking south. So this is on the west side of the road.
Thank you.
Yep. So this photo is one example of flooding that we're aiming to fix. This is a standing water, and adding a gently sloped will help facilitate this water in either direction. This direction would be going north towards the railroad. We are also trying to do more than just move the water. We're also trying to increase the vegetation in this area. Due to standing water like this, there's a lack of vegetation that can grow, and hopefully this will then encourage that vegetation growth.
As long as it's not Phragmites.
Correct. So as we've discussed, we've been under development and we've been moving forward. On the screen in front of you is an example of our title plan sheet. This is ready to move forward. However, as I will discuss, there's been further analysis that we've been doing that has hindered us moving forward. So the current project we're talking, this is the overall site plan. So this is extending up on the north side of the railroad all the way south to Turkey Creek. So these are the right-of-way properties that we are working with. Of note, all of the easements have been received and the owners have signed all of them. So we're moving forward and we're good to move. So I mentioned an additional analysis as to why we're not moving forward. So the yellow line on that map is our current project. There has been a recent development of issues in this white area outside of the Oaks Estate subdivision. So this area, as you can see by these photos, has ongoing drainage issues. We're looking at trying to resolve these and these may tie into our project in some fashion. And so this is why we have not moved forward into construction. We're trying to figure out the best process of resolving this.
Is the white area the diagonal box in the lower right picture?
Correct. So the white area is the area of which the drainage concerns are aligned. So, and they go all the way back to that cul-de-sac up towards the railroad. Now, it does not look deep, but I can guarantee you it is up to waist depth. Now, our surveyor is a little bit shorter than I, so it was up to his waist, not mine.
Good.
So next we want to discuss schedule. Looking at our schedule, we're trying to get this additional analysis completed by the end of this month so that we can move forward with our engineering and getting that all finalized by the end of May. We're hoping to have our plan review and contract book completed by the end of June so that we can start bidding at the beginning of August with the intent to award it in September and construction moving into next year. So, and the key item to note of all of this is that this is part of Maryville's master storm plan. Any questions?
Edit. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. This gentleman just made that nice presentation. We get some lights and any questions for him?
Hey,
Mr. Whitaker.
Can you go back to the slide with the line items for the numbers? I want to know, what does line item 9 say? What is that amount? What is that? I think it's 67,000. What is the description?
That's common excavation.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yes.
Mr. Castellanos.
I'd just like to know, first of all, it's a very good presentation you made. And I'd just like to know, what's the potential development economic benefit once this is granted to you? You mentioned development for construction. I'd just like to know, what is the development? Is there some plans, future plans out there?
So the cul-de-sac that we were mentioning in the Oak, I forget the name of that subdivision. I apologize. But the subdivision that we're looking at addressing that drainage issues,
right,
that comes to a dead end. Uh-huh. Having that drainage issue resolved could open opportunity for that to extend as needed. And then other parts of the area are not very well developed. So having that could also help move forward with that. Like I mentioned, we're also working with Lake County Parks, and they're looking at expanding one of these areas into a park as well.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Hollingsworth, you said periodically it's flooding. What does that mean? Is that once a week, once every 5 years? That's one. You said it's only 10 homeowners that are on this street impacted by this?
10 plus. I think we were up to 13 the last I counted.
Okay. Is there a ditch on both sides of this road?
So currently there's a ditch on one side, and the intent is for the drainage to move to the other side.
Say that part again?
There's a ditch on the east side, which does not discharge all the way up, so it will collect water. There is no ditch on the west side that we are proposing a ditch, as long as those...
But the road slopes that way.
And the road slopes that way. So that's where the flooding is occurring.
Because of the way the road is sloped.
But it's crowned north.
Right. So does the road flood?
In some events, yes. The events that we took was after
events people, though, Tim. So tell us, give me a better idea what that is. In 2008, was it underwater? Like the rest of the county, we live on a swamp.
I would guess yes, in 2008. So the photos that we showed were after a rain event that occurred all day. So this is after a full day of rain.
So it doesn't impact the roadway.
So it does not impact the roadway on a regular basis, but as you can see in this photo, this driveway is already starting to flood, limiting their access in and out.
So this project is dig out one side or what, existing ditch, and build new ditches. So both sides have a ditch?
No. So both sides have a ditch. The east side already has structures that are crossing to go into the west side. And so the new ditch will ensure that all those are captured, as well as be able to discharge to either the north or to the south.
So who is responsible for the debris that's going to collect under these driveways? The homeowners?
I
Are we going to create another situation for what we have elsewhere in the county or in the watershed where we have ditches on both sides? It gets full of garbage because nobody cleans it up and then they flood and we still have the same problem?
The stormwater department is willing to, is actively engaged in addressing and maintaining this area.
Really? All over Merrillville?
Well, and they've committed to this project location to ensure that they can get proper flow.
Thank you. Any other questions for this young man?
Does the water on either side of Hendrick Street, does it just collect there or and go into the ground, or does it go actually somewhere?
Currently?
Is there a drain somewhere where eventually the water is going to run off to towards Turkey Creek, or
so,
or is it just a swale on each side?
From the middle of the project, south will drain towards Turkey Creek, and it will go through there. And there's a vegetation that will filter it into Turkey Creek. On the north side, it will be filtered as it approaches the railroad drainage, and that is tied into another drainage feature.
So eventually it's going to go somewhere. Does it go anywhere right now? Or just collects?
Right now, I believe the railroad collects. I don't know.
So it just sits up by the railroad and that's it.
Yes. I know that they have structures that are.
That white box that you had drawn on that one slide.
Yes.
Next to the cul-de-sac.
Is that over there by, because I'm looking at
my, to the east.
My map here. Is that by Waite Street? Is that where that is?
Yeah.
Up in here?
Yeah.
Is that forest area? Is that developable or no? It's just it just collects there.
That's a wetland.
That it has just been collecting there, and we're looking at how we can address that to keep that water from moving, because during these events, that water is backing up into the residents' backyards.
Because it doesn't go anywhere, right?
Right. So we're trying to figure out how to move that. Now, that is not getting to the railroad property.
So instead of flooding that, you want to flood another property? That's what I just heard.
The railroad has structures that are not being maintained to move the water. And so we're trying to work with the railroad so that they can come out to properly clean those structures so the water can move.
I have a clarifying question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hollingsworth, did you say in your presentation that the past cost to date was $20,000 over 10 years?
For the property damage to property, to the properties, yes.
Correct. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Okay. I'm good.
Everybody good?
Thank you. I have a question.
All right, Mr. Ware.
Two questions, I guess. So you mentioned that the Lake County Parks is involved, and I see in the slide presentation that they're on the west side.
Yes.
Do they have any stake in the game as far as funding? Have you reached out to them to assist with any funding like you've reached out to us?
So we have been in talks with them and coordinating with them. They're not looking at improving that drainage area in this capacity. They're trying to make more of a wetland. And so coordinating with them as to getting the water off of the other residences and working with them so that we can discharge some of the water into their property to help them achieve their goals as well.
Okay, thank you. And then the white shaded box by the cul-de-sac. Who owns the property now? And looking at the overview map, you talked about possible development. Where would the access point be from there? And it seems with the railroad, the existing cul-de-sac, not a lot of options. And then the homeowners who own the property between the shaded box and Hendricks. I mean, is that really developable?
So one of the board members of the stormwater owns one of those properties. So I assume that there may be discussions that may be an idea of how that could be developable. I'm not sure there.
Thank you.
Now, in terms of your other question was, it was moving the water. I thought it was the second question.
No, you answered. Thank you.
Any other questions for this young man? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Very interesting. All right, next presentation is the City of Lake Station for construction regarding the Central Avenue stormwater improvements. Mr. Repay?
Yep. So their application here, in short, I don't want to steal Brian's thunder, drains about 250 acres. They have an undersized stormwater sewer that's, what, 21 inches? And they want to upsize it to 36, drain it out to Deep River. Mayor of Lake Station is happily here. Thank you for coming. And Adrian, too. I mean, I'll give you some kind of... with that, Brian will give the rest of the presentation here on the specifics.
Yes, sir. Please state your name and address for the record, and let's go.
Okay. Brian Hood with American Structure Point.
All right, technology again, Bill.
I called it.
Look,
I'm just happy to be part of the team.
Well, we can go back.
Yeah, it's there. It's right there. So. Play music if you like.
Let's get rid of this.
I think you got to open
there.
You got to share it. You got.
I think I will. I'll open up. I don't know who this is, and I'm not even sure why that's up there.
And I think you're sharing his. So I think you have to have something open.
Okay, let's go back.
Well, no. This one.
Yeah.
I think that's gonna happen.
Wait,
no.
Then you gotta share
everything.
It's
hell getting old. Where's my is that here?
Yeah.
I get some. I don't want to go, we're good.
Okay.
No, we'll have to go back and forth.
Yeah, we'll go back and forth. Now can I zoom in on this?
Is there a scroll or not?
Okay. Okay. I'd like to be able to scroll in, and I apologize for some of these. I'd like to be able to scroll in unless you can do it.
I'm going to turn the lights off here.
Okay. All right. So first of all, let's start by giving you a little bit of a background. On this, for the City of Lake Station, the last large comprehensive plan that was done by LoCal, one of the communities was Lake Station, and there was a couple of areas that were part of the comprehensive study, specifically on the east side of Lake Station. Shortly after that comprehensive study came out, the city got active on this and wanted to look a little bit more in depth with what was going on within the city, but not only in one location, but citywide. In 2019, Lake Station hired American Structure Point to come in and do a comprehensive study, master plan of the entire storm sewer system throughout the city. This involved 2 years of doing field work in the summertime, mapping out the entire system, opening up structures, doing smoke testing, televising, and then ultimately we created shed maps to determine where all the segments in the city were flowing to, so we could have a better understanding where was all the stormwater being focused to, what were the issues, where were the bottlenecks, and where were areas that needed more storm sewers. So once we started working with that, we laid out multiple projects throughout the city. But one of the projects that stood out the most encompassed this area that I have here. That is located approximately 1.5 miles east of downtown of Lake Station. And again, I wish I could zoom in on this. Let me see if I can do something here.
You probably don't want me involved.
Well, you probably do better than this because this isn't my laptop. I think it's going to be important, especially since
I barely know how to use my own laptop here. So
usually with a mouse, I can just roll.
Bottom right hand corner.
What do you think?
Yeah, a little should be a zoom magnifying glass down there.
Yeah.
Adrian for the win.
The other one, right up above that one.
Oh, I can't see it.
Oh, that's why that thing was.
Right there.
Look at that. Adrian, I love you.
All right. All right. We can get you.
There you go.
Okay.
Have fun.
All right. Thank you. Let's see if this works. Well, I don't know. We'll figure it out. Okay, so just kind of get you acclimated to, we have Central Avenue on the north side of this project there. We have Deep River here on the west. And if I can figure out how to, I wonder if I can finger scroll it.
Oh, no, you're not going to be able to do that.
Okay.
They don't buy me that complicated stuff.
Here we go. All right. And so right here on the west, on the east side, we have the county line, which is Portage on the other side. Then 29th down here on the south side. So once we started looking at this, we determined, we created another map. Once we took all the GIS information, we laid out the entire system. We wanted to really focus in on this area because we really looked at all the complaints. We met with property owners out there during storm events. We drive out there, locate the problems. We take information we gather from the city. Then we start knocking on doors, set up appointments, and finding out exactly what was going on out in the field. Where was this water going? How long was this water sitting here? And what was the real issue? All right, now I'm going to go to the next slide, Dan. Let's see.
If you're going to have to get out of that one.
Okay, so I'm going to X out here.
Yep.
Let's minimize.
Here's the next one.
Okay.
I've seen that.
All right, and then zoom in.
That's it. I hope it work.
All right. We're getting there. I'm getting used to this. Okay. So what we created here, the area in blue is the existing storm sewer systems. Now, this area encompasses 252 acres. This is the largest shed basin in the entire city. Again, just on the east side. There's only two ways that this storm water gets out of this entire system. We have an area here on the south that discharges to Deep River. And that encompasses just a couple few blocks down here, this segment right here. And then we have an outfall on the north side to Deep River. Now you will see this entire system all the way down to 29th Street, all of this go through this main trunk line through here. Now these areas that are highlighted in yellow, these are areas of complaints, flooding, street flooding, yard flooding. We have approximately 21 properties that are directly impacted. When I mean directly impacted, I mean not stormwater just sitting out in front of the roads where they can't get access to the property, but I'm talking about stormwater that's actually flowing into their property, into their parking lots, driveways, basements. Those are the ones here. There's actually over 30 of them that are impacted just being able to get access to their drives. Now, some of these here I've got on this one. I'm going to have a better slide with photos. Some other things that we looked at. Let me see if I can zoom in here. Some of the televising that we were looking at. First of all, we were trying to figure out why are we having so many problems? What is the cause behind it? One of the things we did is televising these sewers. We have the main trunk line right up here that goes through this wooded area out to Deep River. Now, these storm sewers here made up of either RCP or clay. We don't know the exact age of it, but I'm telling you right now, if we got clay storm sewers out there, we're probably 40, 50 years old out there. And the other fact is these are going through the woods. Now, of course, these would have had to be cleared when they put these sewers in. You walk out there now, it's completely overgrown. The only difference is some of the trees are smaller than the surrounding trees. And that's the only way you know there's something there. So that pipe that you see here, the roots, that's after it was cleaned. We televised that last year. We couldn't get cameras through it. So they went through and had to jet clean this thing. And if I zoom in a little bit more, well, maybe I don't have to, I don't want to move the picture, but every joint when you see through here has roots, and that's actually after it was jet cleaned. So that means you have separation of your joints. You have roots in there that were blocking the capacity, which was an issue. And then the lower picture here, we have a lot of longitudinal cracks throughout the whole storm sewer system that goes to the wooded area. But that's not the issue. We said, okay, we get that pipe cleaned up. We get better flow through there. This whole shed area, what we did is once we determine how much shed area is flowing to certain areas, we had determined that that trunk line, and I'm going to go specifically this one that goes down 25th Avenue through here, its size is a 21-inch. 21-inch handling 200 plus acres coming through there. Now, our modeling determined that we would need a minimum of a 30-inch to be able to handle a 10-year storm event. So let me talk a little bit about that. So a 10-year storm event, as many of you know, that's a basis of what we design our storm sewers around throughout the state. That's what we look at. A 10-year storm event, you're looking at about an inch, 1.3 inches in a two-hour period. There's different ways you can look at it, but to keep it simple, that's what we're looking at. The last storm that we had was back in April 2nd, so 2 weeks ago. What was nice about that is that wasn't quite to a 10-year storm event. That was actually somewhere between a 5 and a 10-year storm event. So everybody went out there with their cameras. City work diligently went out getting photos. We went out there getting photos, and we were able to come up with all these areas that are flooding. And that was, again, not a full 10-year storm event. In some of the areas, and I'm going to show more pictures, but I'm going to focus on some of these.
I love pictures.
Yeah, that's great because we've got them. Let's start down here in the lower area. One thing you're going to notice, a lot of these end storm sewers on the end of these lines, that's where we really had a lot of the worst flooding.
What street is that? I'm sorry, 20.
That one's 29th Street.
Thank you.
And the reason is because this whole system gets surcharged and it's not able to drain. So what happens, the low area or the end area starts surcharging. And I'll zoom in on that picture here so we can get a better understanding of what we're looking at. See if I can get a little bit better. And you let me know, I can zoom in more, but you can kind of see that right there. This entire street, I'm going to get a little bit closer.
You can always send us the presentation.
Yeah. After. Okay, good. But I wanted to see this, and I'm going to show you many other places just like this. The entire street's flooded. This is the area, and I've actually talked to these property owners on both sides over the years, and they do have water that comes all the way up to their garages on both sides of these streets through here.
Now, so just because of the capacity?
Well, that's the interesting thing in this area. Well, too many problems. Is if you see here, look where the storm sewer stops. The storm sewer doesn't even go into this area. It doesn't go along any of the 29th spot. And now we have some areas like that, but that's not the issue. So we started looking at that, and I said, well, that's an easy fix. We got to bring storm sewers to it. The problem is, if we end up extending storm sewers now, we're not solving a problem because that water still has no place to go. The real issue is the 21-inch along 25th Avenue that goes to Deep River. We have to upsize that to be able to address extending any sewers, storm sewers, to these other areas. So what we started looking at is, hey, we cannot start just adding inlets and storm pipe to address all these areas that currently don't have storm because it's not going to solve any problems. So we're spending a lot of money that isn't getting us anywhere. So what we looked at is the fact is we need to replace, upsize this trunk line through here to a 30-inch pipe that would address the model that we've created for this whole area. And just to put it in perspective, we have a 21-inch pipe. A 30-inch pipe doesn't sound that much bigger, but a 30-inch pipe actually has almost three times the capacity as that 21-inch pipe. So now we have to go up three times to be able to service this whole area. So I'm going to go to our next slide here. Let's see. We were close. What we were proposing to address the problems out there, and I'm going to show you all the nice pictures on the next slide. This representation, well, it's not a representation. This is the design that we currently are looking at. So the dark blue line there is approximately 4,500 feet of 30-inch through 12-inch, most of it being 30-inch and 24-inch, to be able to expand through those areas, which I'm going to show you the next slide, of where the largest focus of stormwater problems currently lie. All right, we can zoom in some of these pictures. So again, just on the last storm event from back in April.
April 2nd.
This year. We had 1.25 inches of rain that day. Okay. And 1.25 inches of rain, I'm going to show you what that did for this community. Now, you might be thinking, well, why did you pick this specific route? The reason is, as I go through these and some of these pictures, you're going to see why I picked this route. But it also has done something else. It has allowed us to prevent a means to tie in laterals from that main trunk line to service some of these other areas, and also some areas that currently don't have storm sewers. The reason we picked this is because, first of all, everything you see here is in within existing rights of way. There's no additional land that's going to be required or need to be purchased. We have, let's go along.
I have a question before you leave. The Polk School, does it, in a rain event like this or greater, do you have flooding and overtopping there at that school?
You better believe we do. And I'm going to zoom in on that one. Let's see.
Zoom in on them all.
There is.
So I'm hearing that every time there's at least an inch of rain in an event, this is what happens to this area.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I even got that verified from people who've been there many years, and even the property owners, usually about an inch or more. This is what's happening. Now, just to talk a little bit about Polk School here. There is a driveway, and I don't got every single picture, but there's a large parking lot on the north side, but this is on the west side. So what happens, this is a trucking dock that they use access to get down into that school for supplies and stuff like that. There's sort of a lower area here, but what happens is that parking lot on the north side, which has inlets that goes to the city storm drain, it can't keep up. So what happens is the water fills up and it flows down this drive into that. And I have pictures on the previous slide. I can go back if you want to see them. I have pictures recently of the basement in that school that has about an inch of water in it. Now, talking with the school folks, they said what they end up having to do is put a pump down there to be able to keep up with the higher demands. Every time it rains, water finds its way, it goes down here. So what they did is they end up putting a pump in there, and they're pumping it out into the system. The problem is, again, the system that they're pumping to doesn't have the capacity, so it cannot keep up. So just like from a couple weeks ago, again, they're still getting water in the basement. And move around here. This area here is looking at Central Avenue. There's a gas station here just on the east side. You can see this whole entire intersection is flooded up here. I have various photos. Now, as you know, Central Avenue is one of the main corridors coming into the city. This has been a problem, as I understand, for years, and they just haven't been able to address it because they don't know what to do with it. Again, adding inlets does not solve the problem because the waters cannot get away quick enough because the trunk line is too small. Zoom on it. Let's see.
So redo the whole system.
Pictures a little bit. Let's see. I'm going to go to some of the other ends here because these are.
What other alternatives other than this one did you provide to the municipality other than rebuilding this whole neighborhood?
Well, a couple things we looked at, and I think it was brought up the last meeting we had here. There was talk about, could we use some kind of detention in the wooded area? you know, there's a large lot. The problem with that, the wooded area is actually owned by two private entities. It is not available. The city would have to purchase that, and then you'd have to do all the clearing associated with that. Other than that, there's not a lot out here as far as being able to put someplace for detention unless you create much larger pipe and do some sort of subsurface detention. That gets expensive, but I've done a lot of that in the past. But you have to have an area like maybe in a school parking lot to be able to create something like that. I'm going to zoom in here.
You did your modeling and your design. Did you do retention there and how many acre feet it could possibly hold? Or no, you didn't do that?
We did. No. Once we knew we were limited for having any type of detention, especially in the woods, and that the city didn't own that, we kind of moved away from that. There's a lot more things to look at when you're just doing detention like that. We didn't get into exactly what size and how much water, because the issue is we still have, even if we put detention, we still have another probably 800 feet before we get to Deep River. And again, that pipe is all undersized. So we would still have to replace all that pipe up to the detention facility. And again, you can see, I'm going to even zoom in a little bit more. And again, I just wanted to give you guys an idea.
So all these existing pipes, Mr. Hood, that you're talking about needing to be replaced, are they all the same age as the ones that you were showing previously?
The main trunk line through the woods and down 25th Street are original. Now, when you get up to...
Is that 50 years, 70 years? I can't remember.
Well, we don't have the exact, but I'm saying when I see clay pipe, I'm thinking 40 plus years on that. And the condition of the pipe with all the roots and the longitudinal cracks, and the city didn't have a good answer because it's hard. Some of those records are many years ago, but I'm going to say 40 to 50
years. Lost in the flood, probably.
Yeah.
So that whole box that you show the neighborhood, they all have clay pipes. That's how I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, that's correct. Thank you. And what happens with clay pipe over the years, they don't have the seals like you do now in the PVC. Of course, you got joints that aren't tight. You got a lot of silt and things that fill in. So you can see, again, this is right at Central Avenue come up. Again, this is one of the low areas on the ends. And you can see the amount of water that just inundates. And just to let you know, this wasn't even taken the day of the storm. This was taken the day after the storm. If this was properly sized for a 10-year storm event, this water would have never been here. It would have been gone. Now, what other, the other issues that are going on out here at the site that I've noticed around is, I'm going to use this as an example.
Combined sewers.
No, it isn't. Zoom down that a little bit. Okay. I'm going to give you an example here. We have an inlet along Central Avenue. Now, this is pretty common throughout the community. If you notice this, one thing over the years looking at a lot of problem areas, you notice all the cracking around this inlet. So what happens, these old inlets, these old pipes, you get silts, the joints are tight, the silts start leaking into the pipe, you get these voids underneath. But also when the water can't get away, you get this hydraulic pressure underneath the pavement. And that hydraulic pressure will build up. And that's one reason you get so much cracking of your pavement like this, is because that water has no place to go and it builds up and it gets up underneath that pavement. Now you can notice here, if I zoomed in a little bit more, you're going to notice there's been asphalt patches around this inlet. Why? Because this area is slowly starting to sink in because all the silts and stuff are just getting in there. Basically, it needs to be torn up, raised up, filled, a new pipe. And that's just one location. We've got locations like that throughout this area where we're seeing a breakdown of the pavement just because of the hydraulic pressure that's underneath it. So real quick, and again, I'd be happy to look at some more pictures or anything else, but the city, because they wanted to get this addressed, and we've seen a lot of problems with that's going on out here, was to get an understanding exactly how much this was going to cost, city decided to hire us back in a couple years ago to start looking at the design on this. They actually paid for the design up front because they wanted to see the magnitude. What is this going to cost to address this issue? But they went ahead and paid for that. And we are currently, over the last 2 years working on this, we are around 90% design on this project. So at this point, we have a real good handle on exactly what's needed. The cost on this project, we're coming right around $3.1 million. And the city is asking for an 80% match on that, which is $2.5 million. And again, I'd be happy to go through this. And again, we've got a lot of pictures, and these are just a few the city was sending to us and incorporating. But a lot of it, and I look back and I say, well, how did this happen from over the years? Well, one of the big things is the areas to the south of here along 29th Street are a lot of the newer houses. These are houses that, by the look of them, they were built in the 60s, probably in the 70s. So a lot of these areas are additional, adding to some of the impervious areas. Areas along Central Avenue, there's a lot of businesses. You got the gas station, you've got businesses that are lining both sides of the roadway. Chances are when that storm sewer originally went in, a lot of these places didn't exist. So over the years, of course, you get more and more impervious areas, you get more inlets, downspouts, and everything else. You inundate that existing system, and it just can't keep up.
All right. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Any questions for this young man as it relates to this project? It's a big one.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Ware.
The trunk line, you're proposing to go to 30-inch, and maybe I'm not familiar, you state 10-year flood or rain event, which seems like we're having more and more frequently, right?
Yes.
And heavier and larger amounts. Did you look at the possibility of, if that's the main trunk, and you were anticipating possibly future lines being tied back into this where you don't have them now, does it make sense to make that main trunk like a 36?
We could make it larger. Now, when we modeled that, we modeled the areas that on the previous slide with the orange areas that didn't have the sewers. We actually modeled it in a way if we did extend storm sewers to those locations. So to serve those areas that currently weren't served, we took that into consideration. Now, as far as, say, down on 29th on the south side of the street, a 50-house subdivision went in. No, we didn't account for that. But I will tell you that 30-inch, too, we also have a pretty good slope on that pipe as well. So we took that as part of the flow condition using PVC.
I have a technical question, Mr. Chair.
I love those.
It's been a minute since I've done any design, but I checked my math. You said it was three times the capacity from a 21 to 30?
Yeah, because right now the 21 is made up of concrete and clay pipe. So they're different smooth ratio in there. Closing a PVC, which is much smoother, flows much nicer. And then just the way the calcs are, the 30-inch is, yeah, basically.
The area to area is two times.
Yeah.
If I did that right.
Yes, but because of the material.
Smooth, okay, the
that's
material ratio.
Good catch. So that's right. So,
okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? I have one that mentions that there's on the application only 21 parcels. How are you assuming 21 parcels were that large box you showed in one of your slides
in the whole neighborhood?
I know I went to IU, but that's definitely more than 21.
I thought the same.
Well, I think what I was talking, it was the, let me see.
So 21 properties directly.
Directly, yes.
And then
that's exactly. So this area here.
Directly mean?
So directly is
going from zero stormwater to having some?
So the directly is when it's actually in the property itself. So we have a lot of areas of street flooding, even more than 21. But I'm talking about the properties that are directly impacted where the water is on the properties, in the parking lots, or in the homes.
Okay. And most of those are going to be in those yellow boxes?
Yeah, most of the ones.
It should be 29th Street, you know, Mr. Hood. And there was a bunch of water down there, but that doesn't get onto their property.
That is right. We have right through here, this lower area, there's five homes right now that are getting inundated with water. I know it looks like a lot because it's zoomed in, but that's right. There's five houses that are.
The yellow horizontal? The yellow horizontal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other
questions? Yeah, if you want to talk about street flooding in front of homes, there's a lot more, but we were trying to focus on the people that are directly impacted that met with us and had a real concern where, you know, the problem is there are no site ditches out here. There are no curb and gutters. So that water just sits in a lot of these areas.
Excuse me, but how many homeowners have been affected by this?
Well, like I said, the ones we know directly, 20.
21, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been over there. I've seen the problem that you have in Over Lake Station, and I see that it definitely needs to be resolved.
And like you brought up, right. You know, okay, let's say Central, we got a lot of flooding there. It may not directly impact someone's homes through there, but just the traffic itself coming through Central Avenue, that's a, you know, pretty good flip through there. So it does affect just the flow of traffic, if nothing else.
Are we the only source of funding you're looking at to do this?
City of Lake Station, anything on that one?
Say yes, besides the what the money the city's putting into it.
Well, we haven't looked at NERPC or anything.
What did
talk about stuff like this? Just asking.
We did approach the congressman's office last year.
Mm-hmm.
About trying to.
I'm sure, sorry, sir. Can you come up here and we have to do this whole thing? Because you're asking somebody in the thing. Oh. Are you from the city?
Yes.
Can you please come up and over here? Because then you get on the camera, you introduce yourself. It's all real official talking about all this money.
Okay.
All right.
No problem.
Yes, sir.
All right. Adrian Vera. I'm chief of staff for the City Lake Station. And we did have a conversation with the congressman's office about a year ago. And at the time, there was really no funding available to help us with this project. They had told us the pot of money that they used to work with got reduced quite a bit amount, and really the amount of money that they would distribute between multiple municipalities and the region over here, that amount of money got shrunk down. So there was really nothing at the time.
How about state grants? I mean, I read in paper all day, this municipality got this and this got that. And
oh, like the community
yeah. Crossing grants.
We have.
I'm just asking the questions
before, but mainly for road paving.
Uh-huh.
And I'll jump in there. You're right. There's different types of grants, and we've got grant people that specialize in that. I don't specialize that per se, but I do remember the conversations. There's a lot of different types of criteria, what they're covered for, amount of money, and all different types of things. It seems like we never seem to match exactly what they were looking.
Okay.
Another question.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Vera, if this is resolved, it will improve the quality of life for all those individuals living in that area.
Absolutely.
We've been swamped with it for years. And at the same time, wouldn't it also create more additional construction development for more homes and more people to come into the area?
Yes.
To support the tax base.
We do have a little bit of land to the south of 29th Avenue.
Right.
That there's opportunity for more development of homes over there as well.
Okay, thank you.
And yeah, absolutely. Like you said, this would be a huge improvement to the quality of life for the residents in that whole area. I mean, Little Cal, I mean, you guys would be saviors to all those residents over there. We were able to get help with this. It's been this way. I grew up in Lake Station. I'm 45 now, and I grew up there, and it's always been that way. Mm-hmm. Road bike through neighborhoods growing up. There's a few playgrounds over there, and it's always been that way. So this is just something the previous administrations haven't really tried to do anything about it. Eric Carroll's here, myself, and we've been trying to figure out a solution, a way to help the residents. So appreciate you guys' consideration.
Would the
follow-up, Mr. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Just a quick question and follow-up to Commissioner Castellanos. Would the potential development south of 29th Avenue take that under consideration?
That was my question.
I will tell you, based on that, we didn't look at, and you can see the open areas down there just south of 29th. We didn't look at taking on additional development down in that area. If that is something, and again, we're kind of stopped at 90%, especially after this last rain event, because things continue to get worse, is if that's something that's on the table, sometimes it's as easy as going up the size in the pipe, be able to handle all of that. Quick or question. We could look at maybe detention down in that area too, where a lot of new development, you have to have a detention, or we could have an outlet that would serve that. We can run that.
Just to be clear, that possible future development feed into that south trunk that you show on the diagram. Would that feed into there, that possible development, and not go back up north to the trunk that you identified in the design?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that one more time?
Well, there's questions here about possible future development there on the south of 29th, I believe it is. Would that feed into that south trunk line and possible holding there, or would it travel north into this designed area?
Originally, when we looked at that, if you see the long gold blocks vertical here, originally, one of the additional studies we looked at is what future projects could feed off of that. And we actually have coming off the blue line or trunk line coming straight south through that big rectangle gold area all the way down to 29th Street. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then we could spread it out there and pick up that whole corridor or anything that was developed to the south of there. So that was another project, a future project that we laid out, which were several for this area. But again, we need that main trunk line to be able to address everything.
If I can chime in, Eric Wolverton, I'm also with American Structure Point. We serve as the city's on-call city engineer. I am that city engineer. So any future development that would occur on the south side of 29th Street would be required to meet the city's current stormwater ordinance, which requires detention on site. So even if there was a large development there, that doesn't mean the entire development is going to flow to that area at one time. It's going to be detained on site and discharged at a regulated rate.
Is anything south of 29th in the future, let's think not just about the challenges today, but also tomorrow, also going to go into this new system?
Right now, I know no development that's planned south of 29 right now. So
houses down there and a whole lot of open space.
Yeah.
If you look at this and you decide that the pipe needs to be increased by
size.
We're talking 30 to a 36 or 48. Yep,
exactly.
Are we talking significant money beyond that?
No, sometimes going up the pipe size, if you're already digging in the ground, you got all the labor in there. So whether they're putting in a 36 or a 42, labor-wise, you're not talking any difference. It's just the cost of the pipe. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do it, and there's a thought about it, it would be to do it now because you're going to have a significant savings.
Yes, sir. Mayor.
Mayor Bill Carroll, City Lake Station. I just wanted to say anything south of 29th, we're impeding onto Hobart in a way, the way the boundaries are all spread out. So we're focused on the City of Lake Station. We're focused on the citizens who for years, numerous years, have undergone this flooding per se. This is not the same Lake Station that it was 10 years ago. Every day we're evolving. We're evolving as a city. We're evolving as a better city. And with a project like this, this shows our community and people who want to invest back into our city, which has been a massive outpour in the past 5.5 years since I've been mayor. It gives them some hope. It gives them something to look forward to, saying, hey, listen, other people besides the City of Lake Station care about the future of Lake Station. If we succeed, the region succeeds. And that's how I look at this. I know it is a lot of money, but the impact of that money is worth it. And with that being said, I want to thank the board and thank everybody for taking the time to listen to us, accepting our application and that. And, you know, every community has problems. I totally understand that. I'm aware of that. I'm empathetic towards that. But I'm asking to please help Lake Station continue to move forward in the direction that we are moving in right now. We are a team player. We want to help be part of the best of the region. We want to make the region even better than what it is. And with these projects like this, it shows people that our government does care, that we care about our citizens. And for that, I thank you for your time, and I thank you for your consideration, and God bless everybody.
Thank you. Any other questions for these gentlemen?
I just have a comment on what the mayor just said.
Oh, please.
Okay. I've seen when we did the project for the Rock River, it has truly increased citizens for doing recreation. It's been really helping out Bella Bulls a lot. I mean, the whole area just exploded. I've been over there, and I had family members who've been over there.
It's a lot.
And they really enjoyed it, and we see what can be done. And you got a lot of hardworking people in that area. And I'm pretty sure that what you're asking for, considering what the board's going to do, but I'm for it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right, moving right along. Other business, new business. First up.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Let's go.
Chair, I'd like to make a motion to act on resolution 2025-01 and an interlocal agreement with the town of Bearville for their stormwater master plan update application in the amount of $39,265. Or 50% of the total costs, whichever is less, subject to review by our attorney, chairman, and executive director.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I did not hear the active verb motion to what?
It was motion to approve, wasn't it?
Was that the verb? Okay.
I use a terminology to act on. I just read it as is.
So, Mr. Whitaker, we have to modify.
So, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to act on approving resolution 2025-01 and an interlocal agreement with the town of Maryville for their stormwater master plan update application in the amount of $39,265 or 50% of the total cost, whichever is less, subject to review by our attorney, chairman, and executive director.
So there's modified motion. Is there a second?
Sorry.
Any discussion? Mr. Repay, help us on this one.
It's just they're updated their stormwater plan. Last time it was updated was 10 years ago. Okay, I can add, really.
All right. So, and then one of the concerns, I mean, we're doing our master plan as well, is going to be the level of detail that gets down into this one. Is this the only community that's come and asked us for help as it relates to doing their municipal's stormwater?
Oh, I mean, Lake Station, I believe, has
master plan.
Right. Yeah, Lake Station's had a few years back.
Well, those all tie into what we're doing for the entire watershed.
Correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Similar follow-up question. Maybe for the next meeting. Or before, could the staff provide sort of a timeline on how those plans stack up? In other words, we have what, 16 municipalities in Lake County?
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe a timeline of when the last stormwater plan for each one versus and how they tie into what we're doing?
That's a good chore for the advisory board to do.
We're going to be all over that.
Well, I'll get buy them lunch. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion with regards to this? You got a motion to approve and a second. Be there or none, Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Jelinski.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnax.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Weir.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Next up.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve resolution 2025-02 and an interlocal agreement with the Lake County Drainage Board for their Turkey Creek Maintenance Phase 1 application or project application in an amount not to exceed $444,000 or 60% of the awarded amount, whichever is less, subject to review by our attorney, chairman, and executive director.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
The drainage board divided up Turkey Creek into three segments. This is phase one, which is just runs just to the east of I-65 and runs just almost to Broadway, if I remember correctly, for maintenance and fixing some of the washed out areas, especially by the Hidden Lake Park.
Do you have this application pulled up at all?
I do not, but I can.
Okay. So just for the public, just so the public knows, is I-65 and 61st Street primarily to the west side
If you drive over there and you're heading towards Broadway, if you look over to the right, you see the babbling broken trees. This is that whole area. So there's a lot of stuff. And then it goes through the north and it does go under I-65.
So from
big focus on this area.
East to Broadway, which is like about 2 miles.
See, look.
East west.
There's 61st Street. There's I-65. I thought Dan was going to have these so we could.
Well, I could get it up. I didn't know.
It's on the GIS.
You watched the presentation.
I did.
I know.
Sorry. This is a public meeting now.
I understand. We can still talk.
So, any questions with regards to this one?
You want to hold up,
yes,
Mr. Chairman?
You I think on? It's a, it helps.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Mr. Reaping.
This good news that I have the person that did the presentation sitting next to me about 3 feet. So, if you have specific questions, I'm sure they would help you to answer it.
See, Thomas, I put you on the spot.
Okay. I didn't hear specific questions. That's all.
Like, what was coming?
Yeah, just the design or construction. What? Which?
It's going to be construction.
Okay.
I believe that's correct.
Correct. Correct.
So, with my map, the estimated price is $740,000.
So Dan, who handles the under I-65? Is that the state or is that the county and cleaning out that hole? Or is that part of this project where Burke is going to be able to assess that structure as well?
I believe the drainage board said that they would assess the condition of that structure, which is the big culvert that runs just north of 61st Street.
Right. So this is all the water from, explain where all the water originates that goes through this hole.
Let me go pull the whole
map. I don't want you to have to do that because I can't even get the PDF. So
it goes, I mean, from Cherville, it goes Merrillville. You've got part of Gary that comes through this culvert.
So a significant part of the watershed is feeding through this location. Have we had volume issues there before? No.
I think it's just normal maintenance that over time, it's destabilized some of the bank and they need to address it before it becomes worse.
So this is the county. So it's a drain. It's a regulated drain.
That's correct.
But Dan, where would the second two phases?
Thomas, you know, the second phase.
Sure.
Go ahead. Well, yeah, you could get to be on camera just like me. So and
state your name and
Thomas Burke with Mr. Burke Engineering. So this is, as Dan said, this is phase one. This is the eastern portion of Turkey Creek. We broke up into three phases. The total is about $3.5 million, depending on how long you extend it out. This is just the eastern portion of it, which is there's less, some of the less residential areas, so easier access. So this starts, basically takes all the water from Hobart, brings it in through Merrillville, Cherville, as Dan was saying, then back down around. We will assess I-65 culverts and we will have to contact IDOT if there are issues. But there's a lot of tree debris that's been accumulated in a lot of these areas of blockages that will have to be addressed as part of this, as well as stream bank stabilization and some channel bottom dipping.
You said the east portion. Is that the east portion east of I-65?
Correct. Well, it starts east of I-65 and goes slightly west towards Broadway.
Correct, but you mentioned that this is for the entire thing that I'm looking at in this application, correct?
Correct.
So what's the east part?
This is the eastern third phase. One is the furthest east.
Eastern
of Turkey Creek.
Of Turkey Creek, correct.
Thank you.
Are we taking out trees and things like, are we going to remove obstructions as part of this or yes. Just bank stabilization?
Where it's regulated, we'll be removing obstructions as part of this.
Okay.
So has anybody from your group, Mr. Burke, been down and around this culvert in the last 2 years?
I have not been there in 2 years. I've been there many times, but not in the last 2 years. The surveyor's office has had staff down there, their cleaning crew, the last 2 years.
So that's the drain that the county's responsible for the hole under I-65? Is that my understanding?
It is the regulated drain, but when typically when we're dealing with I-65, we usually contact NDOT to help out with that.
So I'm all worried about the I-60, all the culverts on the expressway. So the county is involved in what other ones? I know we do some directly, but if you're doing help now with the drainage board, what other culverts underneath the primary expressways in the watershed is the responsibility of the drainage board? All of them?
All of them that are regulated, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get to.
And there are.
We'll get a map, I'm sure.
Yeah, there are. Even in where this one comes in for Turkey Creek, there's one main culvert, but there are actually three additional culverts just north of that between the main culvert and the railroad that are, I guess, bypass flows that we've been fighting beaver dams there for a long time.
You've been watching this dance for a while. There's a lot of regulated, unregulated, regulated, unregulated all around the watershed. I'm kind of even thinking now, even down to Beaver Dam Creek. And is that regulated? And that's still a whole, this is 40 years of fixing stuff.
Majority of Beaver Dam ditch is regulated, as well as many laterals.
Yeah, majority. So all of, basically everything that I would assume then goes under I-65 is going to be a regulated drain.
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions for these gentlemen?
You're dismissed for now. Don't worry, I'll have more questions.
Yes, I have a question for the attorney. If we approve, we have this phrase subject to review by attorney, chairman, and executive director. Your review could feasibly, possibly, I guess, potentially put the kibosh on it, even if we approve today. Is that a possibility?
It's really referencing the documents themselves. So what'll happen is, depending upon what action you take, if there is a motion to approve that does obtain the requisite vote, then I'll prepare a interlocal agreement that sets forth all the conditions of the project, as well as a resolution is set forth here in the agenda that you'll see next month on your approval or for approval at that time that kind of.
So if they don't like any of the language in the interlocal agreement, get $444,000. No, they're not getting.
Because the chairman's involved.
No, because the attorney and the executive director are the ones that manage the interlocal agreements. So that's going to be providing documentation. That's the draws, how they do the draws, when they do the draws, when they're finished with the paperwork as far as the drawings and whatnot. How are those getting, you know, fed back into us? Absolutely.
Thank you.
So if they don't want to do those types of things, then it'll end up coming back here to have a conversation. It'll be a big thing.
But to date, we haven't had any community
come up with an interlocal that doesn't meet our requirements.
Or meet their requirements.
Because the interlocal agreement, Anthony, is basically a similar document to all the communities, only modified based upon the specific dollars and project requirements for that particular application.
Yeah, we have a template.
Good. Yeah. I do.
Cool. Let's move a couple times.
Anybody else? All right, we've got a motion and a second.
Tom Wyszynski?
Yes.
Anthony Brodnix?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Moving right along.
Good, thank you. It is a privilege and it's an honor to go ahead to make a motion to act on resolution 2025-03, an interlock agreement with the town of Dyer for their stormwater improvement at Sandy Ridge Park application. And an amount not to exceed $240,408.30, or 60% of the total cost, which is less subject to review by our esteemed attorney, our esteemed chairman, and our esteemed executive director.
There's an esteemed motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. 240 grand. Mr. Repay, help on this one.
I would like a plaque with esteemed on it.
Okay.
Got it.
Sandy Ridge, just a brief overview, it affects a handful of properties. Most importantly, under the 100-year rain event, it's that road that leads into that subdivision has about a foot and a half of water on it. After they're done, it should only have but a couple inches and traversable.
Well, Mr. Chairman, with respect, before we dive into the details, I think I would like an amended motion again. We're using the word act, which if is not actionable, I don't believe.
We're saying.
Per the attorney.
Just setting forth the motion or setting forth that you want to take action, but we need to know what that specific.
What is the action that we're going to vote on? Is it to approve? Is it to deny? Table? We need to use different for one of these. So you want to approve it, just say motion to approve instead of.
Want me to say, repeat it again?
All you have to do is just say that you're approving it. And if the whoever seconded agrees with that, I don't think you have to go through the whole litany. Although I'd like to hear a Steve.
I like a Steve.
Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Bennett?
Yes.
Yes. So he can amend it. And as long as the second, who seconded, do we know?
I did.
And?
Is he amending his motion to approve?
Yes. To approve?
Yes.
I'll second that.
So we're approving the resolution.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love public service. Okay. So we have a motion and a second, and we have in discussion now. And Mr. Repay was going to say something about this project.
I just mentioned that it affects a handful of properties, and most importantly, the roadway that leads into the subdivision. Under 100 years, it's underwater a foot and a half or so. And afterwards, it'll be just a few inches. So it'll be traversable under 100 year flood event.
How big are these hands and a handful of properties?
Probably six, five, six. More than a handful of six.
Anyway, how much is, again, are we increasing the depth?
I don't know the depth. What are you taking it down?
Right now, it's about.
Oh, yeah, you got to get on camera.
Right now, it's about 3 feet maximum. It's going down about 6 feet. We're putting in a pump to help evacuate.
I'm sorry, this is a new one. Mr. Burke, you have to say all that stuff.
Sorry, Thomas
Burke. It's a public sector, and I love having to do this kind of stuff.
Thomas Burke with Christopher Burke Engineering regarding Sandy Ridge. The depth of it right now is about 3 feet. We're excavating down about another 3 feet. So that we have a pump station that will drain the last couple feet of the park and providing additional storage to contain more of the stormwater in the park and not in the streets and in the properties surrounding it.
And I think, Mr. Repay, you said that this would remove the or lower the inundation amount from roughly a foot and a half to just a few inches.
And I was reading off our his homework.
Under which conditions? Like, is it a 10-year storm?
100 year. I cheated off in his homework, so wasn't my calculation.
All right. Any other questions on this one? Discussion? What say you? We're losing our efficiency, gentlemen.
Pat Mushinsky.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnix.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Levon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve resolution 2025-04 and an interlocal agreement with Lake County Drainage Board for their Sherrillville Ditch Stream Bank maintenance application in the amount of $528,250.61 or 60% of the total cost, whichever is less, subject to review by our attorney, chairman, and executive director.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second.
This is a regulated drain. Runs by Home Depot just to the other side of the boulevard. Extreme scouring of the bank, issues with pipelines in that area. And they're looking to stabilize the banks. And also, we have to cut down some trees before the end of the bad. But that's all we got.
Any questions with regards to this particular project and under discussion?
It's all stabilization work.
Parameters, length.
What was it?
Scope.
1,500 feet. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like 1,800, I believe. Is it extends a little bit just to the other side of the boulevard?
Sorry.
No problem.
Sorry, Tom. You got to get up and.
Can you specify exactly where? You say about a Wendy's, I believe.
Yeah. Let me look at this. Thomas Burke with Christopher Burke Engineering that extends. Just east of 41,
by the movie theater,
200 feet, and then goes straight west to where Sherrillville Ditch turns and goes to the northwest before it joins Dyer Ditch.
passes through. The town of Sherrill brought this to the mayor's office and asked them for the help to clean up this regulated drain. There's been a lot of scour issues. There's some pipelines on the north side of it that has limited passive where, you know, we can't expand the ditch. We can only stabilize it because of the pipelines there. And then you have the road on the south side of it. So we've come up with a plan to stabilize the ditch to this section.
Is the county contributing to the other 40%?
Yes.
So we spent a lot of time, Mr. Burke, on this one in study session. I mean, it's a lot of money for this small of a segment. Is it because of the pipelines and are they running under, over?
So they're, for the majority of them, there are three pipelines. They're on the north side of the ditch and they're running along the ditch, not under or over, alongside the north side of it.
So we're basically cleaning this thing out.
Correct. And stabilizing it.
And how are you stabilizing it again? I'm sorry, I saw it on the application, but it's easier to talk to you.
Sure. So we're using, we're trying to excavate out the toe where we can, and then put in some some riprap at the toe, and then use vegetated matting rolls to stabilize the banks. And we have to remove a lot of vegetation and replant some new vegetation there.
Where's all the debris or all the stuff coming from that's growing in this small ditch? I mean, this is all serving primarily commercial properties by the movie theater and everything then to the how far west?
It goes, well, all the way to the Gatlin Pond. That is where right before it splits the Gatlin Pond, Sherrill Ditch does, and then joins Dyer Ditch before it goes into the two railroad tracks. So there is quite a bit of residential area on the north side of it that drains down into it.
So all the way south of Deer Creek, all the way to like St. John Road, all those rooftops?
Not on the south side. The south side drains more to Dyer Ditch than it does to, north to Sherrill Ditch. It's the homeowners, the residences on the north side. It drains south.
Thank you. See the pictures.
What do you want to be?
Pictures of life.
Well,
post office by the movie theater.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where this will open.
Are you stabilizing the whole thing? This looks like a regular sideline ditch. Now we're gonna put.
There's very few areas that don't need stabilization along there.
There's no few areas around here. That's the whole reason we're here. How many properties are feeding in everything to the south and north as far as the commercial? Because there's a lot of parking lots around here.
Correct. There's a lot of not everything south, but there's most everything north and some of the areas south of the ditch before you get to the residential feed into there.
Is the total length again? 1500.
I was hoping to pull it up. I don't have it. I don't remember exactly what it is.
It's for real. Trying to freeze.
Please hold. Now, this goes underneath the boulevard.
Correct.
Mm. Now, this, are we back to the regulated, unregulated?
It's regulated on the east side of the boulevard.
So what about the hole underneath 41? Who's responsible for that? Is that county drainage? Is that Sherrillville?
It's county regulated.
It's county regulated there.
So the regulated part ends after it comes through 41?
It continues east for...
East.
Continues east. And that's why this project continues a little bit to the east of 41.
I think the question was more about to the west, like
the west going
intersection.
The west is regulated all the way west to dead ends into Dyer Ditch.
All right. So as a part of this, are we looking at that culvert underneath 41? Or are we just stabilizing and digging out the ditch, not looking at what goes under the boulevard?
We're not touching the culvert under the boulevard.
Why not?
There was work done on that. It was 15 years ago.
Okay.
But we're not.
You've been to a bunch of these meetings like I have.
Huh?
It's a long time. So nobody's put any camera or anything into that as it relates to that. Is that a possibility or are they going to just stop when you get to that corrugated culvert right there?
The plan was to stop, we get there.
The last time you looked at it, was it clear? I mean, did it have, does it have the capacity?
Yeah, there were improvements made. There was work done with NDOT on the boulevard there. There were some blowouts upstream of there that at first brought that to attention on the east side. Like we encountered on Spring Street ditch many times. So that was addressed, as I said, about 12, 15 years ago.
Would this be the opportune time to look for a chance to put some kind of equipment there to see what's there after 15 years? And no real growth in the last 15 years. Well, it's been a lot. So is there a chance, like, what, give me an ish on what it would take just as somebody to put a camera and look through there and see what we got and make sure it's not another beaver colony like we found everywhere else?
I would certainly, you could certainly ask for that.
Ish.
I think if Schererville has the equipment, I know the county doesn't have the equipment, but if Schererville has the equipment to televise it, I would think they would be a 95% chance. If they don't have the equipment, it's a matter of them or find out renting it, right?
But then Dan, who's talking about the cost, right? Like, what would it cost to do it?
Yeah.
Is it 30 grand? Is it 10 grand? Is it 5 grand?
Yeah. It's $1 million.
Is that short for this?
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Mrs. Lambert, you have a motion and a second.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnix.
Abstain.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Von Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. If you can help out with that, Mr. Burke, that would be outstanding. Let Mr. Repay know if we can help at least put some eyes on what the hell's going on underneath the boulevard.
Understood.
Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution 2025-05, an interlocal agreement between the Little Cal River Basin Development Commission, the Town of Highland, and North Township Trustee's Office with respect to maintenance to the pump station located at US 41 in Highland. This agreement is subject to review by our attorney, chairman, and executive director.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second to approve. Mr. Repay. Pump stations.
Yeah, so in 2012, NDOT built a pump station on 41 right by the old bus terminal. Well, I'm frozen. I apologize, Mr. Chairman. My computer doesn't work. Even the IT department couldn't get it to start. So we're going to have to deal with knowing where it's at. When they built it, they gave money and they gave the rights to maintain it to Highland as well as North Township. And so Highland has now taken over control of that. We wanted to make changes to that pump station because it's something that we can improve upon. And we have hired United Engineers to do that. They were the original designers of that pump station for NDOT. So it made sense for them to be hired to make it better. Right now, currently, it doesn't have a trash rack where they have to now manually go down two floors or two stories down into a pit and take out the material manually. We'll also be able to, we believe, eliminate two closures that we currently manage along the river by Wicker Park. And allow Wicker Park to improve, bless you, their drainage of the golf course better. We use the golf course as detention area when it rains a lot. However, at the end, we can drain it better than what they use right now as a 1955 pump somehow. So all that being said, this document will allow us to take control over the maintenance of it. So both the Town of Highland and North Township will be using this document to paper the deal to give us control of the maintenance so we can make the changes that we need to make to make that station better. It's a long version, but that was the whole story.
It's basically a transfer of ownership.
Correct. And so what we'll end up doing is
turn around and hiring the town of Highland like we do with the other three pump stations to do exactly what they're doing after we're done fixing it. We right now, we don't have a right to go in there and make the changes. When they sign over this document signed, we'll have that right.
And then the Little Cal is going to be handling the frequency of that maintenance and keeping track of the records and going through all of that aspects of it. So this is coming from NDOT. This is what, one of two that we're looking at to work with NDOT?
Yeah, this is the first one. This is going to be the easiest one because they actually turned it over to Highland and the township. The other one at Kennedy, which is by Byway Brewery, at that intersection by the visitor center, they haven't turned it over to anyone. NDOT actually runs that station, probably one of the only ones that they do run. So we're looking to seek control of that one in the future, near future.
Mr. President.
Yes.
Just to clarify, it's not a transfer of ownership. It's just an assumption on the contract.
I thought I said that. Thank you.
So any other questions with regards to this? Mrs. Lambert, we have a motion and a second.
Tom Schlinski.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnick.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve an amendment to the Christopher Burke Engineering East Reach Levee System Geotechnical and Structural Evaluations Agreement for an amount not to exceed $165,000 pending legal review.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second.
So on this one, this is part of the geotechnical analysis that we wanted to do with respect to not only our purposes of making sure that the levee is built correctly, but also for the purposes of Gary and their Lomar. Since this will make perfect sense to you, since the Army Corps built the levee, we thought that they would be able to certify the levee. It turns out that they no longer certify their own construction, so they needed someone else to certify the levee. So in order for that to happen, we have to get Christopher Burke here to, and the only way they'd feel comfortable is to do an analysis, or you're not going to trust necessarily anybody's word. So with that, we submitted a drilling plan for the borings, which initially started out to be 120, then we got it down to 83. And then when we submitted our drilling plan, the Army Corps added some features that they needed to see when we did the drilling. And that's going to be the next two motions. This is number one. And so that's why it increases the cost $165,000. By the way, just for the record, we've had this contract since last year. We've been fighting with them all summer long, and at a point, discussing harshly. And it's come to the point where it's more important, as I've said to you in the past meetings, it's more important to have this information than to go down the route. We already talked about 408s that are 2 years old. And so this would be going down that route. So we acquiesce to them and their comments to us. In these next two motions, one for the additional 165, which is how we fill the hole and how we monitor it, to the next one. And I'm going to jump a little bit, but that's we have to make sure that we have a licensed engineer or geotechnical person there that has 5 years experience in watching them drill a hole. So efficiency at its finest. So it's the choice of either you can do this or we could still try to argue with them.
Got it. And any questions for Mr. Repay about dealing with the Army Corps of Engineers?
Mr. Chairman, I have two questions.
Yeah. So,
number one, this work is for us.
Yes.
And then number two, does this legal review also include the chairman and executive director? Like in the previous motions, it's written slightly differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can. It's, in my opinion,
it doesn't have to.
The legal is the most important person.
Clear.
Yeah, Nicole and I speak every Tuesday at 10 o'clock, in case anyone's wondering, to go over all these different things and factors. And so as long as we're all on the same page, she makes sure it sounds
Roger.
Legally correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions? None. Mrs. Lambert, motion and a second.
Tom Schlinski.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnick.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I want to make a motion to approve an agreement for the East Reach Levee System Field Drilling observation with Advanced Engineering Services for amount not to exceed $54,000. This agreement is subject to a review by our attorney, chairman, and executive director.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second, Mr. Repay. Talked about this one.
This pays to see someone watch them drill a hole for.
We're gonna have somebody watch the watcher.
Yep.
Okay.
This is gonna be great. I'll take pictures.
All right. Any questions, comments on this one? And a motion and a second, Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnix.
Yep.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, let's go. One more, two more.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution 2025-06 and an interlocal agreement between LCRBDC, City of Hammond, and South Shore Convention and Visitors Authority for the design of the boardwalk on Optimus Lake. This agreement is subject to review by attorney, chairman, and executive director.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Castellanos with a second. Mr. Repay, designing of a boardwalk.
The last meeting, we made a motion to award to HWC the design for $303,000. What this motion does is just sets into how we get paid back some of our money from the city and the South Shore Convention and Visitors Authority. So they'll be paying us money back, but we wanted to start the project. And so they're all approving it. I think only City of Hammond has to go to Board of Works, but that was just a timing issue. I think that's coming up this week or next.
That would be another example of how that gets held up. Roger. Any other discussion? Either or none. We got a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnix.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Moving right along.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to act on approving and awarding our watershed master plan to American Structure Point Inc. for an amount not to exceed $148,000 pending legal review.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Mr. Repay, when's the last time we did one of these?
2020 was the last time, so it'll be 5 years when it's complete. It's the time frame is 6 months. They have to do the interviews, put it together, and give us the findings. We've already notified all the advisory boards, all the communities, Lake County Highway, all these folks that this will be coming. So we expect a full and joyful response from all.
Will we see an end game? I mean, a big booklet as it relates to once this is completed for the entire watershed?
For all the communities, you should see it. You see it for Lake County Parks, Lake County Highway. Who am I missing? NDOT. So you'll have, you know, we always talked about having our checklist.
Yeah.
This is going to be our checklist because I think, believe it, I mean, the money on the municipal side is going to start getting thinner, and we're going to start attacking this, according to you, on projects that we think are the most important.
So that you're going to get interviewed as well as far as what you think as the executive director of this entity, that what needs to be done, because more and more of the communities are going to come with maintenance issues that haven't been done over 30 years and collapsed culverts, things that haven't been upkept, which causes stuff like that, which causes problems for everybody.
Right.
So is part of this process going to be helping what you see from the big picture to bring to us, or is it going to be just everybody wants their ditches cleaned up?
Well, I think what we're going to end up with is hopefully their top five or so projects that they want to attack. So in the past, the second revision of this stormwater may have not been as specific as we wanted it. So you come with applications that may not have hit that mark or may not have been on that report. I will tell you that I would suggest that if they're not on this report coming up that comes out later this year, then there better be a darn good reason why you don't have it. So I'll pick on Dyer because they're here. But if Dyer comes here and they have an application come early 2026 and it's not in their top 10 list, then there better been some really great reason why that wasn't there, Otherwise, I would assume you guys would vote them. Hey, you got to start hitting your priorities, not on because someone was living in some place or that was your whim. That's going to be a your call, but I would suspect that they would use this as their top list as well to come to us for funding as well. Or NERPC or whatever.
And here's the only thing I'm thinking about, because they're in always worst case, because I'm contract heavy. The point where, what if it's, you know, $18 million for fixing combined sewers? And they put it on this, you know, then it's on the list.
Then the question becomes, do we have 80% or 50% of 18 million?
Is it, but I guess we morphing into something different, because the direction that you give under this contract, I think has a lot to do with it, because then everybody's going to come up with all their heavy lifting, and that's what we're going to have to deal with. It turns into a money thing, not a water flows downhill thing.
Right. As you have told me and beaten into my head, each project is a case by case basis until it isn't. So I just bring the applications to you guys. And you're going to have to make that decision, very similar to, I'm not, Lake Station was here for stormwater. Now, you haven't done very many of those, but does this rise to that level? And that's a decision that you may or may not have to, I mean, maybe you lower their number back, you know, they cut it back to, you know, from 2 million to 1.5. Or maybe you say, look, this is simply conveyance and I'm not going to get involved in stormwater. I mean, you could say the same thing about culverts. Culverts collapse. That maintenance, that conveyance.
Causes problems.
It causes problems. That. At the end of the day, someone's going to start looking for someone's head.
10-4. Any questions for Mr. Repay on this one?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I know last time we had a couple of communities that didn't participate. Mm-hmm. And is the contractor aware that, you know, we sort of need some due diligence on making sure that everybody really participates?
And I went and proactively told every community that I could get a hold of that this was coming. And that's why we put the timeline on it for 6 months. I think every community but one has an advisory board member. I don't want to
name names.
Everyone but one.
Right.
So it's gone through the advisory board. I have a pretty good relationship with all the elected officials in most of these communities. And if not them, then the engineering firm also has some contacts as well. So I'm assuming we're all going to work on this and it's going to benefit them. You know, for some communities, the watershed isn't a big deal. I mean, St. John Cedar Lake is so far on the tip of it. It's like, I don't know how many projects they're going to have or possibly could have. But if you're Maryville or if you're Sherrillville, you're in the dead thick of it.
Yeah, I just don't want what sort of, you know, transpired last time. Six months or whatever. We, you know, didn't have any communication as to whether or not to even know that, you know, a point of contact didn't respond, you know, within a timely manner so that it can actually be included in the contract in the watershed study. So I certainly would like to remain aware whether or not, you know, Gary is, you know, has a representative on the advisory board, and that I certainly want to make sure that they actually have.
Yeah. And I'll keep you apprised of that. I mean, and I'm not going to use this as an excuse, but I'm just as an outlier. It was during 2020, COVID was going on, so you had everybody all over the place. So I don't think that's going to happen.
5 years. No. Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
How does this integrate, this study integrate the work that we paid for, I think, with Wessler on Turkey Creek, Stinky Creek?
No, it was with Burke.
Mm-hmm. No, you were thinking about Beaver Dam Ditch.
Beaver Dam Ditch. Was Burke Engineering that did the work, and Deep River.
Wessler?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Beaver Dam Ditch?
Beaver Dam Ditch.
Siavash did that.
No.
No, the more recent one was Wessler.
Whoever did it, how does this integrate?
Wait a minute. Wait, I disagree.
I was very heavily involved with
Ms. Tony's
getting them hired.
Beaver Dam Ditch.
Yeah.
No, I disagree. I will sit here and say,
Maury?
She wasn't Beaver Dam Ditch, and she wasn't Turkey Creek.
They did work for us.
Well, they did, I'm sure, but for Deep River and Beaver Dam and Turkey Creek, were done by
Burke.
Beaver, I completely agree with Turkey Creek and Deep River.
I'm telling you.
All right, we'll do that offline.
The question is, how does this integrate?
How do you
integrate all these other studies?
That's the point.
Including the one that at Lake George Airbase.
So at the end of this, we get a big, thick book like we had in 2013?
Hopefully a useful one.
Okay.
Amen.
All right, there's still a motion.
Projects, yeah.
Any more questions?
Negative.
Mrs. Lambert, we have a motion and a second.
Yes.
Anthony Broadus?
Yes.
Dave Castellano?
Yes.
Ron Harris?
Oh, yes.
Levon Whitaker? Wade Baker?
Yes.
Right, folks, next meeting is going to be May 21st, believe it or not. Check the website. We'll take a motion to adjourn here, folks.
So moved.
Take a second. All those in favor say aye. Thank you, everybody, for helping us.